Okay, we're going to call the Senate Finance meeting to order. The time is a little bit after 9:05. Today is February 18th, President's Day. Members present is Senator Dunleavy, Senator Olson, and co-chairman, good morning, co-chairman Kelly, and then myself, co-chairman Meyer. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on the capital budget, Senate Bill 18. First, we're going to have the Department Administration. If you want to come on to the table, please. We'll have Commissioner Becky Holbert, and Sherry Lowenstein is also with her. And so with that, I will turn the floor over to you. And if you need to bring anybody else up, that's fine. Just if you could remember to put your name on the record as you change speakers. Morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Becky Holtberg, and I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Administration. I have our Director of Administrative Services here with me today, Sherry Lowenstein, and I've got some folks in the audience if I need a lifeline that I may be able to call upon. So thank you for having us here today to go through our capital requests for the year. In summary, our total funding requested is $49.9 million. Of that, $39.9 is capital. We have deferred maintenance of a little over $10 million. So to start off, we're going to talk about the request for the Douglas Island building. Throughout this presentation, hopefully you'll see that the theme of our work with respect to capital is how do we operate government effectively and make the best choices we can with the limited resources that we know we have. I think the Douglas Island building is a case in point. This project is it's page one in your book, reference number 54483. General Services, Douglas Island Building, year 2 of 2. The request is for $9.6 million general funds. The Douglas Island Building, according to lore or legend, was a building that needed to be torn down and completely replaced because it was not cost effective to repair the building. A couple of years ago, there was a proposal for a project to build a new state office building. The cost of that would have been approximately $100 million, and the tenants of the Douglas Island building would have been one of the primary occupants of that building. Upon further research with architects and engineers, it was found that the building could be rehabilitated, and we determined it was more cost-effective to remodel this building than to build new construction. So the project, as I said, it's year 2 of 2. It's going to take care of exterior renovations, including replacing the exterior curtain, and a number of other items, interior renovations, electrical upgrades, and mechanical upgrades. Next project is page 3, reference number 54507, General Services Repair, Juneau State Office Building Parking Garage, phase 2 of 3. This request is for $2 million general funds. The North Garage is 39 years old, and the South Garage is nearly 42 years old, as you can see by the visuals in the PowerPoint. There is some significant deterioration in those structures, and they're in need of repair. A building sits on one of those garages, so the structural integrity of that structure is very important. Full funding could extend the life by 30 years. Next project is page number 6, reference number 54681, General Services Nome State Office Building and Courthouse. The request is $3,252,170 general funds. For many years, we've known that the Nome State Office Building needed either replacement or repair. Again, this was a facility that was contemplated would have to be completely replaced. There was a concept to move those tenants into a new building that would also accommodate the courthouse. However, upon, again, further architectural work and engineering work, it was determined that it was cost-effective to remodel the building. There have been two previous appropriations, so this is the final amount needed to complete that renovation, and you can see the before and after pictures on the PowerPoint.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Senator Olson.
You want us to ask questions now or ask questions at the end? What's your preference?
Senator Olson, we've been holding the questions to the end, if that's
fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Next project is page 9, reference number 54683, Alaska Geologic Materials Center Replacement Facility. The current facility opened in 1984. It's located in Eagle River. It archives the state's legacy collection of geologic samples and related data. Samples in the collection have been linked to the discovery of and development of oil, gas, and mineral resources, so it is of strategic importance for the state. The samples are currently 70% over capacity and are housed in 60 unheated and unlit 40-foot containers, which is, as you can imagine, less than optimal condition for these types of materials. This request is for $15 million general funds. A new facility was contemplated. However, at this time, we believe we have identified a facility we could purchase, which would lower the total project cost. We've made an offer on that facility, but we have not. We do not have a final agreement. So at this point, we are requesting $15 million, which would accommodate the purchase of that facility. There may be additional requests in the future. However, we do not believe that they would be significant, and there's a possibility that they won't be needed. So we are in a bit of flux with this project. However, we do believe that we've identified an alternative that is significantly less expensive than construction of a new facility. Next project is page 11, reference number 56591, Enterprise Technology Services Virtual Tape Systems Replacement. This is $500,000 general funds. The funding will replace the virtual tape system and automated tape libraries, which are beyond end of life. This is a system that helps to support our mainframe, which is a valuable and important IT asset for the state. We have two projects next, and then four total on this slide that are Division of Retirement and Benefits projects. All of these projects are addressing increasing member counts as we have increasing numbers of retirees. That is increasing volume for the division, requiring additional work. Also streamlining and automating processes, providing members easier access to information. The more we can automate, the more we can allow member self-service, the more we can put online, the less workload there is on the division in terms of personnel, and hopefully in the future we can mitigate PCN requests to accommodate this growing volume of retirees. So this is page 13, the first one, reference number 51599, Retirement and Benefits Combined Retirement System Upgrade, year 4 of 5, $350,000. I want to note that these are retirement and benefit retirement funds. This is the fourth year of a five-year project. Next project is page 16, reference number 51598, Retirement and Benefits Document Management System. This is the final year of a four-year project, $135,000 retirement and benefit funds. This system is replacing microfiche and microfilm document storage methods that rely on older technology. Page 18, reference number 56597, General Services Americans with Disabilities Act Improvements, $192,000 general funds. The Department of Administration is the responsible entity for care of 11 public buildings and four non-public buildings. The Department of Transportation currently receives 100% of the ADA funds that are allocated annually, and we are requesting funds to comply with the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act regulations and standards for those buildings that we're responsible for. Page 19, reference number 56601, Retirement and Benefits Policy Automation, $880,000, Retirement and Benefits Funds. Funds will purchase and deploy an off-the-shelf policy automation system. Again, this is in line with our efforts to streamline processes as we face an increasing number of retirees. The system will allow Retirement and Benefits to write and maintain business rules, regulations, and policies in a central catalog. Page 21, reference number 56602, Retirement and Benefits Identity and Security Governance, $749,400 Retirement and Benefits Funds. Funds will purchase and deploy an off-the-shelf identity management and security system. As you can imagine, Retirement and Benefits deals with very sensitive personal information. Security and identity management is very important for that division. It will manage and secure access to Division of Retirement and Benefits Systems and enforce security policies and compliance with state and federal regulations. It will also automate tasks and will provide self-service for retirees for routine processes. Page 23, reference number 56625, Alaska Rural Communication System, Digital Conversion, $5.3 million general funds. By September 1st, 2015, all low-power television services must be converted from analog to digital in accordance with FCC mandates. So to continue with ARC service, transmitters must be replaced with digital units. And the transition will also expand public service to residents in Bush, Alaska by replacing from a single channel to a multi-channel distribution platform. So I think there's a policy decision here on whether or not we're going to continue the ARC service that is sort of inherent in this capital in this capital request. Page 25, reference number 56959, Capital Alaska Management System Phase 1 of 2. This is $2 million general funds. 13 departments have buildings and managing over 10 million square feet of space. This includes the university of, and the court system. The state does not currently have a central building information repository, and therefore there is no simple way to look at all these deferred maintenance projects comprehensively across the enterprise. So these funds will maintain accurate and current facility data statewide in a single web-based system. It will help us to identify and prioritize deferred maintenance, renewal, repair, repurposing, and equipment projects using a consistent methodology across agencies. So I think this is a management tool that's intended to help us in our responsibility to manage these buildings, but I believe it's also going to provide good information across the enterprise to help us compare across departments what those priorities for deferred maintenance would be. This will procure a statewide building condition audit, design a facility management system. Page 28, reference number 49602, deferred maintenance, renewal, repair, and equipment. This is approximately $10 million. Of that, $7 million is general fund, and $3 million is public building funds. The department's allocation and the total requested for all deferred maintenance project, which includes $6.25 million for deferred maintenance in the public building fund group. Of that, $3.2 million is general funds and $3 million are public building funds. $767,000 for the non-public building fund group. And then $3 million for the State of Alaska Telecommunications System deferred maintenance, and that is year 4 of 5 of that effort. So with that, that completes my part of the overview, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, very good, Commissioner. I believe Senator Olson did have a question. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner Holtberg. One of the questions I have on the Nome office building is that as we look at some of the rising seas in the seawall that's evident in your picture there on the upper left, what's being done for the water damage or potential water damage with that could be happening to the building there over the next 10 or 12 years or 10 or 15 years when you expand the lifetime of the building? Mm-hmm.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, this project will replace the wall assembly and replace the seawall or add a buttress wall. So it is, we do have it included in these funds plans to address the seawall. The current issue with the building is that the heating and mechanical systems are located in the basement, which if there's flooding, it is a significant problem. So this also will move those systems out of the basement to another area in the building, which should help address concerns from flooding. But again, part of the project is to replace that seawall.
And to put the boiler and the heating system where?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe it's, rather than speculating, it's not in the basement, so I can find specifically the area in the...
Okay, I just want to make a note. It looks like on the bottom picture there on the lower right, there is an addition to the building up on top, and I'm assuming that's where they're going.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe it's in the roof area, so above it at the highest point of the building, but I'm sure we can get you schematics and show you exactly where that would be.
I can continue, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, go ahead.
On a whole nother subject, you talked about the Alaska Geological Materials Center replacement facility that's going on there for $15 million, and one of the notes that you make is that you want to put heat and lighting into the storage area. I don't understand why that's so important. At least my experience has been in dealing with geological archiving and samples that are kept over the number of years. You've got a bunch of cores that are there, and I don't see why, if you have rock cores that are an inch or two in diameter, why you have to go ahead and have those heated and lit in a facility like this.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, There's current issues with degradation of the core samples given the climatic conditions that they're exposed to in the current facility. So I think degradation of those samples is a significant concern, and certainly humidity and temperature control can address that. Specifically with respect to your question about lighting, I'm probably not the best person to answer that, although I'm sure we can find someone who can. But I do think it's important to note that people who come in from the different exploration companies, whether it's oil or mineral exploration, and this is going to provide them a facility where it's warm, it's indoors, they can come in, they can pull the core samples out, they can look at them, they can do whatever assessment of them they need to do, which I think is a benefit to the state as we're looking to increase oil and gas and mineral exploration. So I think there are multiple benefits. We do have Bob Swenson from DNR in the audience if you'd like to continue this line of questioning. He's probably better able to address these questions than I am.
Could be. My last comment is I'm not familiar with rocks that are going to be deteriorating because they've been exposed to different temperatures. I guess I wouldn't say I beg to differ with you, but I get the idea that putting heating in essentially rocks, and it talks about diamond drill cores right here from hard rock right here on the paper. Why are we putting so much money to try and heat these rocks up? And when was the last time? And you got hundreds of probably thousands of cores that are out there. Why are you trying to make sure that they're heated and they're not looked at that often?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, if I could ask Bob Swenson maybe to join me at the table. I'm not a geologist, and so speculating on geologic matters might be a little bit dangerous.
If you would, Mr. Chairman, please.
Good question, Senator Olson. Please join us, put your name on the record for us, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, for the record, my name is Bob Swenson. I'm the state geologist and the director of the Geological and Geophysical Survey in Alaska. And Senator Olson, through the chair, it's a very good question. In fact, we get that question quite often. One of the biggest issues as far as climate control on the core, the actual core samples, or any of the samples that we have, any subsurface sample that you have has moisture in it. And what happens is that in the conexes, and we've actually been doing a tremendous amount of mitigation to try to alleviate this problem, but the freeze-thaw cycles that you get in with water within the core, it literally breaks the core apart. It destroys the core, and we have hundreds of examples of that. And to keep the temperature above freezing, it's not that we're going to bring it up to some 70-degree level, but to keep it above freezing and maintain that, as well as the humidity, is very, very important for archiving the core.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman. You've answered all my questions to my satisfaction.
Very good. Just needed a geologist, huh? Okay. Yeah, that's right. You never know when you need a geologist. Okay. Any additional questions for the commissioner or the geologist? I just have one question, Commissioner, if I may. The Juneau State Office Building parking garage, and you provided us photos here. Looks like it is pretty well corroded and a lot of cracks, and of course we've seen these as well. You're asking for $2 million for phase 2 of 3. If we were to do the whole thing, how much more would you need? And is this the right way to do the parking garage, by piecemealing it in phases like this, instead of just doing it all at once and getting it fixed?
Mr. Chairman, we would need $5.8 million to complete the project, and I think with respect to construction projects, that's a very good question, because we don't start the project, generally speaking, until we have full funding. And so certainly I think we could, this could be one appropriation rather than phased. For other projects such as IT projects, you have work you're going to do every year. And then I think phasing, there's a different considerations around phasing. But certainly for these construction projects, I think it's a fair point. And whether or not it's phased or we get it in one amount, I think we would be certainly the decision of this body.
Okay, very, very good. Two concerns there. One is it may end up costing us more by phasing it like this over multi-years. And then second is just looking at the photographs here, I'm not sure how much longer that parking garage can wait. So that's just something that I think the committee may want to consider. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Any additional questions? Seeing none, thanks. Okay, with that, let's just take a quick break while we switch out the We'll have the, looks like Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development will be next. Okay, we're going to bring the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Our next presenters in continuing with the Senate Bill 18 capital budget is Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. We have Joellen Hanrahan here, as well as Sarah Fisher Goad, the Executive Director of AEA. I'm not sure which one is starting. Okay, Joellen, so I'm going to go ahead and give the floor to you, and as you switch off presenters, if you could, just put your name on the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'm Joellen Hanrahan, Director of Admin Services with the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. And we'll start with our first project, which is reference number 54070, Economic Development Marketing Initiative for $400,000. These funds will build on the multi-pronged marketing and development effort that was initiated in FY13 with our to upgrade our marketing materials and activities and supplement our statutory responsibilities in the areas of fisheries, minerals, forest products, and film. And Also, the department's been increasing their development work in sectors that are beyond the statutory responsibilities, spanning multiple industries, including mariculture, air carriers, and Arctic shipping. These FY14 monies, again, will continue the initiative that started in FY13 with media relations, contracts, new marketing materials, increased presence at national and international trade shows for minerals, forest products, and marine services and Arctic development, and also increased marketing presence in northern European countries, supporting the new Iceland Air seasonal service to Alaska, and domestic marketing activities in support of the new Virgin Atlantic seasonal service to Alaska. The next project is 38943, Community Development and Assistance. This is an annual request. It's actually covers many areas that support our communities. And this year, we're asking for $290,000. The first project under this is a computer-assisted mass appraisal system. These systems store property data, and they allow the properties to be valued at a mass basis rather than an individual basis. These systems are very expensive, and our communities, many of our communities cannot afford these. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has developed an in-house CAMA system, and they've agreed to provide that to the department for modification for use by other communities. These funds will be used to hire a contractor for the modifications and also to install and provide maintenance and operations over a three-year period with the communities. The second project is a review of our grant agreement. The Division of Community and Regional Affairs administers about 2,300 grants worth $1.84 million. These grants are executed with a variety of entities, including state agencies, municipalities, tribal entities, nonprofit, for-profit, and other federally recognized organizations. The base grant agreement was developed over 7 years ago. It's come to our attention that base grant agreement, one, doesn't cover all the new programs that are occurring, all the new types of grants that are occurring, and that is outdated. For example, our sovereign immunity waiver clause was brought to our attention. We have three different ones happening, and then we have several grantees have contacted the Department of Law to negotiate their own special sovereign immunity clauses, and we need to upgrade and have a legal review of what we're using as our standard grant agreement to ensure that that the state is protected and that the new types of grants are covered. The next project is community block grants. That is 38946 reference number. That is for $6,060,000. This is a long-term annual request, and it's to provide grants to communities and nonprofits that provide services or benefits to low and moderate income individuals. The first block grant under this, both of these, I should say, right up front, have a federal, they're majorly federal funds. $6 million is federal funds, $60,000 is general fund match. The first block grants are the community services block grants. These block grants have been in existence since 1965. They provide the funding to reduce or prevent poverty through community-based education activities. This money is provided through the Federal Health and Human Services organization, who has designated community action groups within each state. In this state, RuralCAP is the only community action group, and these funds, $3 million of these funds would go to RuralCAP. The second project under this capital request is the community development block grants. These block grants have been around since about 1983. This program provides competitive single-purpose grants not to exceed $850,000 to municipalities for planning activities, infrastructure, and economic development activities that benefit low to moderate income individuals. This requires a 2% general fund match, which is $60,000. And at this point, the next projects start our AEA project, so I'll switch over to Sarah Fisher-Goad.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Sarah Fisher-Goad. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority. I also, in case there are questions, I do have a couple of my deputy directors online from Anchorage to answer any renewable energy or rural energy project questions. The first project for AEA is project number 56220. That is the Susitna-Watonna Hydroelectric Project. It's for $94.2 million. We will be doing a detailed overview of this project in Senate Energy tomorrow. The funding is our FY14 requirement, estimated requirement for us to continue moving forward with the FERC licensing process and also provide for funds for the engineering feasibility study and our detailed engineering design of this project. We are working with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission right now to finalize our study plan. The study plan determination for the final 14 studies should be on April 1st. We expect to be out in the field this year for 58 studies for the first year of a two-year comprehensive study in preparation to file for our license on September of 2015. This is an estimated $5.2 billion project. The $5.2 billion does also include the estimated cost of the pre-construction and the FERC licensing process, of which these funds requested is part of that overall project cost. The second project is the $13.7 million Bradley Lake Transmission Upgrades, project number 56681. Mr. Chairman, last year we had received a reappropriation amount to study the transmission system in the railroad area to come up with a detailed analysis of what transmission upgrades are needed in the rail belt region. The one issue that has risen to the top of the priorities is the constrained transmission system for the Bradley Lake Hydroelectric Project. So these funds would start the initial design of five projects that will help us continue to work with the rail belt utilities to unconstrain the Bradley project and the Bradley Energy. These five projects include a Beluga to Bernice Lake HVDC intertie. There is a 25 megawatt BESS Anchorage area storage system. It's a battery system. The upgrade of the Bradley Lake project, the Soldotna 115 kV transmission line. The potential flexible gas storage system in the rail belt area to provide some additional flexibility in the area and provide gas compressors and a delivery system as the gas supply becomes more constrained in the rail belt area. There's also funding for the University of Dave's Creek to upgrade that line from 115 kV to 230 kV, and then also the substations and the compensation amount for that project. Again, this is just the first year of looking at these projects. This is the design we've really expected to make sure that, you know, the area of priority is to take care of the current AEA-owned asset and make sure that energy is being able to be delivered to the utilities that purchase that power. The third project is the RPSU, the Rural Power System Upgrade Projects. It's project number 52498. This is $3 million of federal receipt authority and $9.6 million of general fund receipt authority. This has been a longstanding project of the Alaska Energy Authority where we design and upgrade and build new power projects in rural Alaska. We've been partners with the Denali Commission for several years to develop these projects and to design and build them. The Alaska Energy Authority provides oversight, project management, and construction resources that many smaller rural utilities are not able to do. We do have a deficiency list that we've been working through the rural power system upgrade projects. There is approximately 30 remaining projects that we have to continue to do upgrades. The next project is reference number 50682. It's the $25 million FY14 request for the renewable energy projects. The legislature at the 10th day of the session received the list of our evaluated round six projects. This is the funding source that would provide the $25 million in the highest ranked projects of that list. The next project is project 49734. This is $8.5 million for the bulk fuel upgrades. That's $2 million of federal receipts and $6.5 million of general fund. This again is very similar to the rural power system upgrades. This is a rural program that we've been working with the Denali Commission to build and upgrade bulk fuel storage facilities. Many years ago, the Coast Guard was going to prohibit fuel to be delivered into communities because of the insufficient storage systems in the communities. So with the development of the Denali Commission and federal funds made available, AEA has provided upgrades in 97 communities. And this request in particular, we will upgrade Nunamiqua, Perryville, and looking at a partial funding of the Kipnick project. The Alternative Energy and Energy Efficiency Program is reference number 49735 for $2 million. This is for the development of alternative energy research and development and for the energy efficiency programs. The funding for this will be primarily used for the Village End Use Efficiency Program, which again is another bit of a rural emphasis on energy efficiency to look at the communities as a whole with respect to what we can continue to do to make sure that efficiency measures are met for community facilities in those communities. The energy plan implementation, $1 million, that's reference number 52507. After the energy pathway was developed by the Alaska Energy Authority, we have put forward a regional planning development in order to take the pathway from a community basis and really look at a regional level. And so we've been working in partnership with a lot of the regional development organizations with respect to developing these regional plans, similar to what we did with the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan. However, this, instead of being really AEA-led, AEA is providing a technical assistance and support for the regions in order to develop these plans. $330,000, reference number 32950, is the Electrical Emergencies Program. This is to provide technical support and materials and equipment when a rural electric utility has lost or will lose the ability to generate and transmit power. This provides funding for AEA to move in a very, very quick fashion. We do coordinate with the Division of Emergency Services. However, this funding source does allow us to mobilize and respond very quickly to the rural community that is in need.
The next project, this is Dwellin Hanrahan, Director of Admin Services. The next project is 51748, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, for $8.5 million for the Ambler Mining District access. The purpose of this project is to provide all-season access for exploration and development of mineral resources within the Ambler Mining District. The goal of this project is to define an optimal corridor to proceed with permitting environmental documentation and establish a right of way. The next project is 56693. This is also for the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority for $50 million for the natural gas treatment and distribution. This is to reduce the cost of natural gas sourced from a North Slope natural gas liquefaction plant. The funding will be used to leverage other sources of funds to provide the greatest financial relief to local utility ratepayers in Alaska. The liquid natural gas from the output plant will be trucked south and used by Fairbanks area utilities to provide natural gas for space heating and fuel for electrical generation. The primary components of the trucking operation are securing a long-term supply of liquid natural gas. The next component is construction of a plant to liquefy the natural gas and temporarily store the gas. The next component would be trucking infrastructure to transport and construction of liquid natural gas receiving and storage facilities and local distribution infrastructure. The next project is the Nutritional Alaskan Foods for School at $3 million. This is a continuation of a project that was started in FY13 that has been highly successful. This provides grant funds to school districts to purchase healthy Alaska-grown food products, including finfish or shellfish that's caught or harvested in Alaskan waters, livestock that's raised in Alaska, milk produced from livestock in Alaska, fruits and vegetables grown in Alaska, native produce and berries commercially harvested in Alaska, and transportation and shipping costs for these goods. 53 of the 54 school districts are currently participating in this project. The 54th is in the process of completing their grant agreement. It's been very successful. We've done some collaboration with the Division of Agriculture and have a survey on the Farm to School website related to this. And on that survey, 93% of the respondents definitely want this program to continue. The next project is reference number 45816, Alaska Air Carriers Association, the Medallion Foundation, for $250,000. The Medallion Foundation fosters a safety culture and promotes higher safety standards through training, research, education, and advocacy. The Medallion Foundation participants include 800 aviation general aviation operators and 100 air carriers. Those participants transport 90% of the passengers enplaned in Alaska, 95% of the cargo and mail transported within Alaska, and they serve 100% of our communities. The Medallion Foundation has contributed to reducing aviation accidents by 39%. The next project is the Arctic Power Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Program for $300,000. These funds aid in the opening of the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The next project is the Arctic Winter Games, reference number 41959, and this is for the State Team Alaska State Participation. These funds are provided to keep the registration fee for participants at a level that's attainable to allow Alaskan youth to participate in the Arctic Games. The Arctic Games will be in March in 2014 in Fairbanks, Alaska. These games have more than 20 sporting events, traditional dance and music, and they are a very important cultural event for Alaska. The next request is the Blood Bank of Alaska for $7 million. And the Blood Bank of Alaska, it provides blood and blood products to all Alaska hospitals. It's been around since 1962. These funds will be used to construct a new facility to consolidate four separate facilities that are spread across Anchorage. The blood bank has seen enormous growth and due to our increased population, but also demand for in-state medical services. This new building will accommodate new blood products and new laboratory services within one facility. It will also minimize the reliance on our lower 48 for emergency services. The next project is Fairbanks 2014 Arctic Winter Games Host Society for $1 million. This money is for the planning and implementation of the Arctic Winter Games in Fairbanks in March 15th to 22nd, 2014. The Arctic Winter Games will result in an economic impact of over $13 million in direct visitor spending and event operations. The funds will be used to continue the planning, to hire additional personnel in the 6 months preceding the games, to establish a volunteer program, implement a marketing program, and acquire IT and software equipment to maintain the current administration. The Arctic Winter Game Host Society also raises funds from corporate community, individual donors, and in-kind donations. The next project is Life Alaska Donor Services for $65,000. This is for promoting the anatomical gift donation program. These funds are provided to a grantee for promoting the donation program. The next project is the Marine Exchange of Alaska, Alaska Vessel Tracking for $600,000. These funds will be used to continue the build-out of the Maritime Safety Net for expansion of vessel tracking systems coverage and capability throughout Alaska. The Marine Vessel Tracking System has added weather sensors that allow digital selective service from vessels that are in distress and in immediate time information on weather to mariners. The vessel tracking system aids in safe, secure, and efficient operations in the Arctic. It's used to monitor state exploration operations and to validate compliance with environmental protection. It's been also used by the Coast Guard to develop risk reduction measures for vessels that transit the Bering Sea. Covers over 300,000 square miles in vessel tracking, and it's also been used for port planning activities. The next project is the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Impact Grant Program. These funds are represent 50% of the funds that are collected by the federal government for leases within the National Petroleum Reserve. And that 50% is provided to Alaska for grants that are given to communities that are severely or directly impacted by the leases and the development of oil and gas in the NPRA. This year we are asking for $3.9 million. The communities have submitted and been awarded funds for $3.8 million. The actual amount of NPRA funds is not completely known, but we know that it will be in a range between 3.8 and 3.9. And Sarah, would you like to speak to Ethel?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the last project is a reappropriation to the Motlawak Rural Power System Upgrade Project. It's reference number 51902. 2 years ago, we received a $4 million general fund appropriation to complete the ACIAC project. However, it had conditional language that it had to be no more than 50% of state funds for that project. We were able to work with the Denali Commission to fulfill that conditional language. The project was completed with $2.25 million of state funds. This is the remaining amount of that original $4 million appropriation from ACIAC to go to the Motlawak project.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your presentation. I believe we do have some questions. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, to the chair. I believe there was nothing in here related to coal at this point, correct? Coal?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, correct. We do not have a project related to coal.
Okay, and the state does not have a a philosophy that would not entertain coal possibilities in the future. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, coal is not considered a renewable resource. However, the state of Alaska has been, and in the past, the Alaska Energy Authority has been involved in coal projects.
So coal is still a real possibility?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, I believe that it is. In fact, the University of Alaska Fairbanks is looking at a combined heat and power coal project also. So I think coal is definitely a fuel source that folks are still looking at using.
Thank you.
Senator Dunleavy, additional questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this has to go with has to do with the Susitna-Watana project that out there. You mentioned that there's going to be it's a $5.2 billion project. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes. That's the estimate of the project cost right now.
It's my understanding that there's been a built-in overrun on that, and it's quite a bit more than that. And I was wondering not so much what the cost of the project is, because this is one way to go ahead and bring energy to South Central Alaska besides the gas line that's proposed that's coming down the way. What other projects, what other ideas has your department or division trying to make for so that people in rural Alaska have access to less expensive energy needs as well?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the Alaska Energy Authority's mission is to reduce the cost of energy in Alaska, and we have a variety of programs and projects that we manage, in particular several of them with an emphasis on costs of power in rural Alaska. With respect, I'm not certain of I do want to address your comment with respect to the cost of the Susitna-Watana project. The $5.2 billion project is an estimated project cost. It does have a plus or minus 25% estimate of that project cost. That band of possibilities has narrowed. Last year we had an estimate of approximately $4.76 billion. That was a level 4 engineering estimate that had a plus 50% and minus 30% estimation, which at this point of the project, since we're still in the early stages of licensing and going through our environmental work, and we have not completed the detailed engineering design, as we continue that, the certainty of the project costs get more refined. So again, it is an estimate of the project cost. With respect to the projects and the programs that we fund, in particular for the high cost of energy in rural Alaska, the Renewable Energy Fund program has funded several projects, and that program is statutorily targeted for high energy cost areas. Our rural power system upgrade projects and our bulk fuel projects are also rural Alaska targeted. In particular, another project that isn't mentioned in the capital budget process is the Power Cost Equalization Program, which is a $40 million program for providing state assistance for rural residents and community facilities in rural Alaska.
Follow up?
Yeah, you talked about how much money is in the renewable energy program that's targeted for rural Alaska.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I'd be happy to provide you a breakdown of all the projects and where the projects are. We do have a statutory requirement that the projects are targeted to high areas, but then there's also a statutory requirement that we do provide a regional balance. So of the $202 million that has been appropriated to the fund for projects, I don't have that breakout with me as far as how many go to rural Alaska. We haven't broken out into several different regions. Several of those regions are considered rural Alaska, but we'd be happy to give you that information, provide that to the committee.
So it's, Mr. Chairman, if I could continue, so it's less than $202 million for that.
Well, through the chair, yes, it would be less than the 202, primarily because of the requirement to have the funding spread across the state of Alaska.
Okay, if I could continue, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry?
If I could continue, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. In Sarah's defense, though, I think you made a presentation to the committee, and then we ran out of time. And I don't know if we would like to see that complete list of all the projects and the money it saved both rural Alaska and the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to provide that and also arrange. I know we had talked at one point about having a rescheduling for us to be able to complete that that overview, because I think we did end up finishing right as we were getting to the renewable energy fund overview.
yes, we did, and I'll check with the co-chair on rescheduling. But if we can certainly, you can give us a list of those projects, that would be helpful. Senator Olson, continue, please.
Thank you. I just was pointing out that the $95 million is being spent out there on a project that may or may not be within budget. But actually, my next question has to do with from Ms. Hanrahan, and has to do with the air carrier's request for the Medallion Foundation. If you could turn back to that page again. I just want to make some preliminary comments. I want to thank the governor for going and recognizing how important the Medallion program is out there. It certainly has, as you pointed out, decreased the number of aircraft accidents by 39%, which is very significant. Having had a number of family members that have been killed in aircraft accidents, I'm very sensitive about that. But the question that I have for you is, I've got in my possession a letter from the Air Carriers Association that states that this $250,000 certainly is appreciated, but they're very concerned about the Medallion program and the funding that they need for that over the next several years. In fact, they are considering within the next three years, they'd like to go ahead and have $3.5 million to go ahead and continue on with this Medallion program that's out there, that even the state pilots that are flying the Department of Public Safety's aircraft subscribe to. And part of that has to do is they're involved with what's called the safety management system that's out there that's going to be required for Part 139 airports, of which Fairbanks International is part of that, of those 27 airports that are going to be required to have this by the FAA. And the Medallion program has already put a number of people in place to try and develop that management system out there. I guess is there going to be any resistance if we try to go ahead and meet a part of what the Air Carriers Association, are you in favor of, would the administration be in favor of us trying to increase the amount of money that the Alaska carriers could get to continue on with the Medallion Foundation?
Senator Olson, through the chair, could speak to the governor's budget, who has, with competing interests, has allocated $250,000 for this purpose, and certainly the legislature has the prerogative to allocate funds where they see appropriate.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that, and so I think that it's very important that we do continue on with this Medallion program because of the defunding of many of the federal programs throughout the state, and this has had such a dramatic effect by reducing the number of aircraft accidents that are out there. And so I'd like to certainly consider doing something like that.
Okay, very good. Additional questions, Senator?
Last question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with the Arctic Power, and that has to do with ANWR. Arctic Power has been in place for a long period of time. There have been a lot of money spent on trying to open up ANWR so that we could reap the benefits of what's going on up there. But now with Senator Stevens gone, who was a strong advocate for that, and the administration on the federal level that has changed to probably a less than friendly idea of us developing that area, why are we still spending $300,000 in unrestricted general funds for Arctic Power that seems to be going nowhere? It has no vision of going anywhere for the next several years.
Senator Olson, through the chair, I believe that that this administration feels very important to open that coastal plain of Arctic National Wildlife and would like to continue that support for that effort.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I think we all share your frustration. The chances of opening ANWR in the next two or three years probably isn't real bright. I do appreciate keeping the effort out there, so I guess that's something we can we can discuss whether we should take a break for a couple of years or keep pursuing it. I want to welcome Senator Fairclough for joining us. We are on the Department of Commerce capital budget right now, I do have some questions if Senator Dunleavy has none. Okay. The first one was the Economic Development Marketing Initiative for $400,000. You know, we have a lot of initiatives, and this one, I'm not sure how it differs from all the other marketing programs that we have, but it does seem to be an annual occurrence. So I was hoping maybe you could maybe explain the difference between this one versus some of the other marketing initiative programs, and if this is an ongoing initiative that maybe it should be in the operating budget rather than the capital budget.
Senator Meyer, this initiative I think was developed because the department has had a strong focus on specific statutory responsibilities in the areas of tourism, fisheries, and a less emphasis on some of the areas that they still have responsibilities for, which is minerals and forest products. This initiative was developed partly from a desire a couple years ago for the department, from the legislative side and the administration side, for the department to expand its efforts on economic development and to help diversify our economical base. This at that time there was some gap analysis done within the department to determine where were areas that were not getting enough support. Certainly ASME, Alaska Seafood Marketing Program, is very specific to fish and is a strong program. Tourism is also a very specific sector, but we have a number of these other sectors that were not being addressed or not having adequate support. This initial program was to beef up our efforts and our activities in the less addressed areas, and to expand to areas that we had not addressed yet.
Okay, can you give me some examples of those areas that haven't been addressed? Because certainly tourism and fishing, they have their own marketing programs. So is it maybe the timber or the mining?
Representative Meyer, yes, in timber and mining, this is helping us to really become more active and involved in those efforts and to be able to participate on in more national and international trade shows related to those. We'll be attending the Canadian Conference in Toronto on Minerals, which is an investors conference, and it's an effort to bring more attention to these areas. Other areas that we've worked on that we were involved with helping to incentivize Iceland Air. We're looking at air carriers, getting more air carriers coming to Alaska. We've also developed new programs in mariculture. So we're expanding and diversifying our base and supplementing the programs that we currently have.
Okay. I guess it would be good to kind of see how much success we have had with this annual appropriation. And if it is something we want to continue, wouldn't it be better in the operating budget?
Senator Meyer, I would agree that if this continues, we are successful and continues, that it would be appropriate in the operating budget. I do want to point out there's things that some of our programs that we currently have that we're trying to beef up include buying local campaigns, made in Alaska products. We're doing a lot of collaboration with other state agency programs, such as Alaska Grown, Silver Hand, and we are working on trying to do an Alaska branding for marketing. I think this has been, this year is the first year of the program, FY13. So we haven't had these funds before. So this is the first year that we're really putting this extra effort into supplementing the statutory responsibilities we have in the areas of timber and forest products and fisheries, and also in expanding our base.
Okay, my mistake then. So this is a new program?
This program was started in FY13.
Okay, very good. Let me go on to something else. The blood bank. The total cost on that is what, about $51 million, something like that, or more? And can you tell me who else is participating in this besides the state?
Senator Meyer, yes, I'd like to speak to that, and I didn't speak to that as we went through. There's actually the state has actually put in, $19.1 million into the blood bank, although this form, this capital request references only seven, there is actually about $19.1 million. The blood bank has initiated a campaign, a significant campaign for private donations with the goal of $10 million. So with the 19.1 or 2 plus the $10 million brings them to about 29.2. They're still working on leveraging the gap of $23 million.
Okay, that's a pretty big gap. Okay, anybody else questions? Senator Fairclough?
Mr. Chairman, just on the blood bank appropriation, I know that they are going out to other foundations now and trying to leverage matching money to fill in the gap. So I believe they've contacted the Rasmussen Foundation. When they were in our offices last year, we directed them that 100% state funding was not the best way to move forward with this project. So I know that they're working hard to take on a significant responsibility in the project.
Very good. Yeah, well, it's certainly very much needed statewide project. And we want them to be successful, but we like them to have other participants. So. Okay, I think that was all the questions I had. We talked about the Susitna, Montana, talked about the renewable energy projects. I'm sure there'll be more discussion about the natural gas treatment and distribution system for $50 million. The Arctic Winter Games, looks like there's two different appropriations there. One is to help, as you mentioned, help reduce the fees, and then the other is just to help the city of Fairbanks, I think, put the program on. So that takes care of my questions. Senator Olson, question?
Actually, I did have a question on that, Mr. Chairman, and that has to do with how do you decide who the participants are that participate in the Arctic Winter Games and how many there are?
Senator Olson, through the chair, I, off the top of my head, I do not have that information, but I can get back to you with that information.
The only other information I'd like, Mr. Chairman, is if I could get a distribution across the state as where these participants come from. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Olson. All right. Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for joining us. Senator Fairclough, give you one opportunity at the... All right, well, thank you for your presentation today, and that does conclude the presentations from the administration on the capital projects. We're going to try to finish this tomorrow. We do have a pretty aggressive schedule, though, tomorrow. Let's see, we have the Alaska court system, public safety, Department of Law, Department of Corrections, and then the University of Alaska, and that will be all of the agencies. Some of these won't have very many, so this should go fairly quick. And then on Wednesday, Co-Chairman Kelly is going to have a presentation put on by the administration on the contract negotiations. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll get back to hearing some bills. Some darn good bills, right, Senator Fairclough?
At least one of them.
At least one of them, okay. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, then we stand adjourned until tomorrow.